Hello and welcome to the Conversations Podcast. My name is Annie Ward and I serve on the administrative staff here at Cypress Creek Church. And I am so excited to have a conversation today with our, what are you?
I'm the lead pastor.
Lead pastor. I always want to say head pastor. And I know I almost always say it wrong. Lead pastor, Jose Abaroa.
Or just Jose, whatever.
Okay. Lead pastor, Jose Abaroa. Welcome. Excellent. I'm glad you're here. And the worship pastor, which is a lot easier to remember.
That is a lot
Joel
easier.
Hernandez.
Glad to be here. Excited to have this conversation with you guys.
Yeah, absolutely. And the thing that I really love about this series, or so we're in a series about Acts. Mm-hmm. We're going through the book of Acts. I love the book of Acts. And I also love the fact that you start, Jose, with every Sunday morning, the sermon, you go back to Acts 1.
Yeah.
And you read Acts 1:8, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. And I'm just curious, as you're teaching through this sermon, the series, if this verse is becoming more and more powerful to you and intertwined in the story of Acts.
For sure. Certainly this week, meaning that we are all witnesses. It's not just the head pastor or the lead pastor or the pastor or the worship pastor or staff member at a church that is to witness. It's all of us. But this isn't anything I discovered. This is the main point of the book of Acts. Books have verses that are key verses. John has one. He says in the Gospel of John that he wrote all of these things so that we may believe in the one who the Father sent, Jesus. So this is the one for Acts, and these are the words of Jesus. And for sure, this week, we're looking at how it's now going to the ends of the earth. Mm-hmm. So we're seeing Peter really tie the earth, what God did to a Gentile centurion, to the people in Jerusalem. So this was an important little scene that can be missed. We're going to kick off verse 19 and read the rest of 11 this coming Sunday. But this is huge. Mm-hmm. And again, I see this, and what I also see is the same thing that Peter experienced, we experience today in the church. So the same problems, the same things when we report what God's done.
Yeah,
these are not new things that we're experiencing. Peter himself experienced some of the same resistance and then ultimately resolution. Mm. So yeah, I was very encouraged by this passage.
Mm-hmm. What do you think, Joel, about Acts 1:8?
Yeah, I think you just mentioned it, Jose, but that's what stood out to me a lot on Sunday was that you highlighted to the ends of the earth and like, all right, this is kind of the start of that. And then it gets you down that rabbit hole of people's obedience, like the disciples' obedience to share Jesus and keep going and keep going and keep going. And then it's starting to spread. And I mean, again, you touched on it, but here we are all these years later and the gospel is still alive and well and changing people's lives. And it's because of people's obedience to start. And so I think that to me is what the power was there. Yeah. Like, man, listen to God, obey what he's telling us to do. And look what happens. Mm-hmm. Like people's lives start to change. Mm-hmm. So it's really cool.
Mm-hmm. Well, and also think that oftentimes we could read this scripture and we could think, oh yeah, Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. But there was a holy refinement that happened to get to the ends of the earth. You know, I remember a long time ago, whenever I was in college, I took a class about the history of Christianity. So the professor really broke down all these different eras of Christianity. And I remember at the very beginning, she emphasized that the beginning of Christianity, it was really just a sect of Judaism.
Yeah.
And it had to break out of those confines in order to even be shareable to the other cultures around the world. And that's what we're watching here. Yeah. Like that's the story that's unfolding, is that breaking down of this religion. Mm-hmm. And anyway, I just find that to be so interesting.
Sean, a couple of weeks ago, talked about how most other faiths are centralized in a region. They don't really break out. They stay where they started. So you look at, you know, Hinduism, and it's mostly in India and in that surrounding area. You look at, I'm just bringing this one up. Confucianism is mostly in China and in the Asian countries. And you look at Christianity, and Christianity is all over the place. Mm-hmm. So Islam is also very much growing and increasing, but it's increasing for a lot of different reasons. Mm-hmm. We won't get into that mm-hmm. here. Christianity is fully like building up in faith, and people are receiving this power that's been given from above, and lives truly are being changed mm-hmm. into Christ-likeness, into love and peace and joy and hope. Mm-hmm. And Cornelius was that. And again, in this mm-hmm. little section, we're seeing that mm-hmm. being reported back. Have you guys ever reported something back to family or friend and been misunderstood? Something that God did? Think about, you mentioned yeah. college, you know, the three of us were a part of Crosstalk mm-hmm. and, you know, anything that you felt, wow, God did this thing. And then you go home and it's not received as an awesome thing. Maybe they say, oh, that's cool. But they don't ask any more questions yeah. and you feel like, oh, but that was a really great thing. Or straight up, they say, you're crazy. Mm-hmm. What are you talking mm-hmm. about?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I definitely do. Do you have one?
Yeah, I'm just thinking of like my friend groups. I remember, I mean, I grew up in church. I grew up doing all the things and then coming to college and I went to an encounter retreat and my life there really like yeah. changed. Mm-hmm. And like, yeah. I think I said all the right things kind of in high school and I loved the Lord, but I wasn't really following. But then I got to Crosstalk, went to Encounter. It genuinely changed how I approached my life, how I was walking with Jesus. And then when I got back and like tried to start sharing something about that, and they were like, who is this guy? He's talking different. He's acting different. So yeah, to that point, for sure.
That's interesting. I there are lots of little pieces like that, but one that really sticks out the most, I remember, is I was wanting to, I'd always wanted to do international missions for an extended mm-hmm. amount of time. And I had lined up a position to teach at a school in Hungary. And, but it was through a missions organization. So I was being planted to, you know, teach at the school, but really my mission was to disciple and to reach out yeah. and to share the gospel with those high school students in Hungary. And I had freedom in Hungary to do that. Like my school knew that's what I was there to do. So it was really cool. But whenever I was fundraising and getting ready to go, there was really interesting pushback from people that I love and know. And kind of like, well, don't you need to go to seminary first?
Ooh.
If you're going to do missions, I think, don't you think you should go underneath the church versus with the organization you're going? And yeah. there was just like these questions from people that I loved that were my yeah. mentors. You know, my grandmother actually was one of them. And, you know, she's old
school.
Shout
out, Grandma.
Yeah.
listening
she's
to
old
this
school.
Podcast.
She's with the Lord now, so she's listening yeah. to the podcast, there but, you know, no, I'm just kidding. Yeah, so I just remember being like shocked by that yeah. pushback. That's something that I wanted yeah. so deeply and it felt so right and lined up perfectly. And I knew God orchestrated. And then to have pushback.
I mentioned that because I do think Peter shows us how to do that really well when we expect resist or when we share, we need to expect resistance because two things. One, not everybody experiences what we experience personally with God. So it's supposed to be a personal experience for yep. a reason. And I experience things with close friends, family that is not appropriate for me to share from the pulpit or with other people. It was just a personal experience that is meant to stay in that relationship. And I think a lot of that is true in our faith with Jesus, that he says things, he shows us things that are just for us and him. And then everybody may want to get there, but it may take them time. And so I say that because that was my big issue was I wanted to expedite. I wanted to expedite that timeline. And when I would come back, Encounter was huge for me. So when I came home and told my parents and family about Encounter, it was like, what are you talking about? What language are you speaking? Mm. This is radical stuff that you're talking about. I'm like, yes, it is. It is radical. Yeah. That power of faith through Christ has the power and ability to tear down strongholds and to make me feel as free as I feel right now. So anyway, then they didn't respond the way I wanted them to. And so then I doubled down on intensity, you know, and I started to explain to them and then prove my rightness and their wrongness. And I love how Peter doesn't do that here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Peter reports and there's resistance, or he shows up, there's resistance, and then he's just being honest, and he shows great humility. He's not the star of the show. It's not about him. It's about God and what he did. So anyway, what do you guys think about that? Reporting with honesty or humility, or sharing something that God's done with sequential honesty and sincere humility?
You know, it makes me think a lot about how you teach us, Jose, to share our story. How the most powerful way that we can share the gospel with others is not to necessarily bombard with information or scripture. I mean, use scripture when you share the gospel, but it's not about how much scripture you know.
Yeah.
It's about the transformation that Jesus did in your individual, in my life. And so I think that that's essentially what Peter does. Like, he shares his experience, you know, and he explains all the things that happened to him. And you can't argue with a personal testimony,
right?
You know? So I think that that's a great place to start.
Yeah, I think there's something to say. He says in order, and there's something to be said about that. He does it with, I think, calmness, and in my head too, it's like a gentle way to approach something. Like, you're just telling the truth, and so there's no, you don't have to come at it from a certain angle, I guess, of like, well, no, I, you know, I'm trying to prove something. It's like, I'm just telling you the truth, and this is what God has done.
What happened.
So that's kind of what makes me think of.
Yeah, matter of fact, not rushed, not heavy-handed. Yeah. Just look, here are the facts. Here's what occurred, objective as I can be. We obviously can't see his mannerisms. We don't know his nonverbals. He could have very well been screaming this.
He could have been.
Know? I heard a voice saying to me, "Rise, Peter, kill and eat." which would also be fun. But anyway, I do think that for me, the challenge here is Joel, shout out to you, man. You do this so well.
Thanks.
When we talk about hard things, you are so calm. You remain cool and help me in my moments when I just want things to be understood, or I want certain things to be done. And it's much better for God to show up than for someone to say, well, you were so right, or I'm so glad that you told me this. So one is self-centered, the other is God-centered. So you do that well, man.
Thanks, dude. Appreciate it.
It also is like, I think that our culture thinks that debate and proving your point and having all the facts and being able to articulate your point of view, that's going to win people. If we're quote unquote winning people over, which is not Peter's heart here, you know, then the method is going to be argument. It's going to be
debate. Yeah.
And that's not what he's modeling here. He's approaching it.
And there's a time for that. I mean, Paul does that in his letters. He writes some of that. Peter is not as much. His personality's not as combative, at least in written form as Paul's is. But he didn't have to be combative in this case. Mm-hmm. And God revealed himself to these people in Jerusalem that this was an act of God, and that the gospel is for us. Mm-hmm. It's not just for them. It's not just a sect. It's now a global movement. Mm-hmm. So again, I love how we'll continue to see many of these examples in Acts. It's describing a one-time event that is significant in and of itself, but it's also prescribing a biblical way of relationship and living.
Oh yeah,
and incredibly practical to the things that we're going through in our day to day.
No, I totally agree. I do agree. This is something that I personally, that I've struggled with, that I've kind of wrestled with. And I think I've even asked this question on the podcast before. But in this moment, Peter is essentially saying that the followers of Jesus are free from some of the things that we're holding back.
Yes, let's go there.
We're causing religion inside the lives of the Jews who were following Jesus. But my question is, should we still embrace some of the things that Jesus grew up with, the culture and the methods and the way that he taught?
I love this question.
And maintain that tension between the Eastern and the Western view of Christianity.
So those of you listening, may just be one out there. I'm glad you're there. Annie is actually coming from, she wants to follow all the law.
Not all of it, but.
Yeah, maybe not all of it. but you appreciate tradition and you appreciate right. culture and you want to honor that. And you right. think there's beauty in that. Mm-hmm. And I think that's so great. Mm-hmm. Our culture this day is actually going the opposite direction. So it's an absolute, you know, it is not, we're in a new covenant. So the law is fulfilled and should be abolished. And the truth is that there is a beautiful tension in both. Because yeah. the Ten Commandments are still very much huge, but they all fall under the greatest commandment, which is what? To love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your mind, all your soul, and all your strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself. So it's interesting in that, even as Jesus is, Matthew 22, he's saying this, even as he's talking about the great commandment, he's saying the great commandment is this, but there's two. One is in Deuteronomy, the other one is in Leviticus. So he's plucking two, mm-hmm. But they're saying they're all basically the same thing, which really means that all 613 commands have one purpose, mm-hmm. and that is this, that we can't get to God. We can't prove ourselves to God. Only God could have fulfilled all 613, and we don't have, you know, proof that Jesus did not boil a... you know, a calf in its mother's milk, which is one of the commands that you shouldn't do. So if you're wondering during this Thanksgiving and wondering dishes, don't do it.
It's not kosher.
It's in the law. Don't boil a... Anyway, so he fulfilled all of those. And because he was the perfect human, he also was the perfect sacrifice yeah. that then brought us into relationship with Jesus. But there are things that we do in church mm-hmm. that model some tradition mm-hmm. of Old Testament. I don't think that's wrong.
No.
I think it can be beautiful if the main thing stays the main mm-hmm. thing. So got me excited with that question because it's a very important one. The Ten Commandments really is the big one. All those 10 are very mm-hmm. important.
Oh, they are very important. What do you think, Joel?
I don't know. I feel like it's hard to top the passion that Jose just showed on that, answering that question. But I think similarly,
just talk about how right I was, and then okay. I'll be good.
Well, let me just talk to you and relieve some. No, I'm just kidding. I think I'm similar. I think to you, Annie, in that I am somewhat of like the rule follower type, and like I just want to do what the Bible says that I should be doing, all of those things. But I think you nailed it, Jose. I mean, there's a time and place for all those things, and some things maybe in a season are really good. Mm-hmm. We should do some of those things, and maybe in a different season we're not. But I think there's nothing that's tying us to those as long as we're doing those two greatest things. Mm-hmm. That's loving God and then loving others.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And again, it goes back to the issue of the heart.
Yeah.
So God wants our hearts. He wants to not just affect our actions, but truly affect our motives mm-hmm. and where are our actions coming from. And so if we make it a rules-based thing, even, I'm going to go to church every single Sunday because right. it's what I, that's great. I'm so glad that you have that rhythm and that, but if you're doing that and then Monday through Saturday, or even right after Sunday after church, you're still holding on to ways of the world, or you're treating people in a way that does not honor the Lord or honor them as imago Dei and created, you know, beings, then it's empty religion. Mm-hmm. So what God wants is a really life-giving relationship with each of us where he shifts our heart into becoming more like his. So mm-hmm. going down to this, what do you think, Annie, this is saying? What is the main piece? I mean, he's saying kill and eat. So we already talked about kosher, mm-hmm. kosher law. Mm-hmm. What is the thing being abolished here?
I think that thing being abolished is, I don't know if I can articulate it in such a clear way, but essentially whenever they say, they're talking about, then to the Gentiles, also God has granted repentance that yeah. leads to life. The fact that the Gentile people that he was speaking to received the Holy Spirit.
By faith.
Yes. And then we're baptized. Works. Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. You can see the deconstruction happening right before their very eyes. And I also think that God is being so gracious with them. You know what I mean? Like mm-hmm. it's happening over time. Last week, I think you mentioned the Samaritan woman on the podcast, but I was listening to it, and I was also reminded of the Canaanite woman who comes to Jesus.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you know, like, and in my opinion,
and
Jesus
eating crumbs.
Is, yes, exactly.
Eating crumbs. Yeah.
In my opinion, Jesus's heart is to break down this so that all people can come to him. But he knew in that moment, in that time period, in that moment in history, he needed to come to the Jews first to be able to fulfill all the law and prophecy so that, you know what I mean? Like there is an order to it for a reason. And I think that whenever we watch the way that the Holy Spirit unfolded himself through the book of Acts, we can see that we can trust him. Mm-hmm. And it's going to be it's going to be in his way and not our way.
When Jesus said, and you will see greater things than these, it's often attributed to miracles and amazing things. And I think that's true. It's also true that he was talking about this, and you will see greater things. People that are, you know, in the Roman military, maybe the very people that were beating Jesus himself, or at least agreeing with his crucifixion, they're going to be used by God to show the who's who of the church at the time, James, John, Peter, that the gospel is for all. Mm-hmm. That this is a global thing. They were thinking small, God was thinking big, and he's just blowing their minds. And he does that today. When we think, oh, yeah, okay, God, you want me to do this very thing. Well, that may be true. And also, if we open up our hearts and minds, he may be showing us a lot more. It's like, last thing, you just opened up a can, Annie, and I'm glad you did. Sometimes we think that following Jesus is a list of do-nots. Mm-hmm. But we miss out on the abundance that he has for us if we just winnow down following Jesus as do not do this, do not, your friends will have fun, but you won't. You will be that person that's left out. But if instead we see, no, this is protecting me from something so that I can be better used, more effective as a human being in any season of life, and be a part of a story that's truly of global significance, mm-hmm. not just of, you know, little things. So we're thinking, oh, God's asking me not to, you know, do this, but God's thinking, no, I'm actually protecting you mm-hmm. so that you can do something way more incredible.
Do you have an experience like that, Joel, that you could share with us about God doing that in your life?
Oh, man. I don't know. I'll have to come back to you. Put me on the spot.
Put him on the spot.
You were over there nodding, and I was
thinking of the last thing that you just said, this like winnowing down or whatever. I think it made me think of the verse that Jesus says, well, the enemy's come to steal, kill, and destroy, but God has come to give us life and life to the full. And I think that mindset is what helps us shift, I think, or at least for me, because, man, God wants good for me. He wants the best for me. He wants me to enjoy the relationships that I'm in, the things that I'm doing, the work that I'm doing in whatever season that looks like. And so, yeah, I think it's not about the do nots, but it's about what does God have for me and how do I do that to the full so that he can bless what I'm doing. So,
yeah. And it's a journey, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, we don't get it right away. And Peter, we'll see further down, he and Paul have some tiffs. Over this same subject. Yeah. So this is something that we see happen right now, but they're imperfect too. They're humans. They need Jesus. We'll see how they fall back in. So there's grace. There's grace along the journey. All right, let's land with the celebrate God stories. You guys have any fun God stories that you're celebrating? I love their response here. It says, when they heard these things, they fell silent. That's when you know that it was good. And they glorified God, saying, then to the Gentiles also God has granted repentance that leads to life. You know, I think a good God story brings about a response that says, all right, well, yeah, God did that. And if God can do that with them, he can do that with me, or he can do that with someone else. That resonate with you in any way? God stories. Annie, you mentioned that we do this staff meetings mm-hmm. on Tuesday, mm-hmm. and it's my favorite part because I get to hear what God's up to in front of the team, where we don't always know what's going on in everyone's ministry or everyone's time. So it's important to celebrate these God stories.
Mm, yeah.
I think of two God stories right now that I'm celebrating, one personal and then one ministry. I'll get into both. But the first one is just my brother and his wife. They just had their first little baby, and he was born to the NICU. He had to, it was just a little trying and challenging time. He went home for the first time after about 5-6 weeks this past week. And the God story in all of that is how many conversations that they were able to have with all of the doctors and nurses and sharing Jesus. They were so open with their faith, which encouraged me. And then literally God was doing a miracle in their son, which was so cool. They told them, like, if this birth would have happened about 20 years ago, maybe there wasn't a chance, but because God works in medicine and all of these things, like, he is getting healthy and moving in that direction. And man, how cool that God cares about all of that stuff. Powerful. And is in all of the details with all of that. And so, And then another one is we're just seeing a lot of people interested in joining the worship team right now. We started something this past semester. It's called Worship Equipping, and we're seeing people really just coming. We're having a time of worshiping, of fellowshipping, of breaking out into small groups and having conversations. And then we're seeing people that have God-given talents that are starting to really understand how to use those and step into what God has for them. Wow. So excited to see what comes from that. But it's been a huge highlight and encouragement.
Mm-hmm. How do you get in contact, or how do people get in contact with you know, being a part of that? Is that through the Serve card?
Through the Serve card, or you can talk to, like, me, Diana, Nolan, Libby directly, and
Annie,
you know, lots of people.
Talk to Annie.
I'll just point you to Joel and Diana. You can come talk to me if you want, and I'll say, just go talk to Diana.
That's great, Joel. What about you, Annie?
This week feels a little raw for me personally, in some in really beautiful, amazing ways, and in others, not so much. But I think this past week was really a testament to how God is.
Take your time.
God is really in all of the moments, in the good ones and in the bad ones. And the ones that are, this week was the full gamut of loss, but also engagement and new babies. And so to be able to mourn with those who mourn and rejoice with those who rejoice in 1 week, I think just really goes to the heart of how God wants to do that with us too. And he wants us to do that with each other as the church. And so,
it's beautifully said. Really thanks for sharing. I love your heart, your compassion, your ability to feel, it is a lot when you think about how God is present in both the highs and the lows and how it is integral. I mean, it goes back to this passage. God wants to move in every people group. He wants them to know his nearness. When we're brokenhearted, he's close. When we're celebrating, he's close. But we can't do that alone either. We need one another. And so he's building his church, and he's making sure that no one is excluded from that type of community, no matter where you come from, no matter who you are, no matter what you've done. And so I agree with you. I'm with you there. I told somebody yesterday, because there have been some tragic things here recently through people close, that I love how every time we go through something hard, it reminds us of how great heaven is. And the promise of everlasting life, where there will be no more tears, no more sorrow. And then every time we go through something good, that's a taste of heaven. So either way, we are longing for the eternal, and I'm sure grateful for this conversation, and already looking forward to the next. Thanks, guys.
Thanks for listening to the Conversations podcast. Be a part of the conversation by sending questions about the Sunday message directly from ccc.guide or by emailing conversations@cypresscreekchurch.com. See you back for the next conversation.